You remember we're doing this series, PowerPoints of Faith, and we're looking at living the good news, enjoying the good news, and sharing the good news. Last year I had a sabbatical, and Margaret Saunders over there gave me a card just at the beginning. I was glad when I saw it was a card and not my P45. That's always a good sign. But it just had one sentence on it, and it said, "The way to do is to be." The way to do is to be. And I think that most of what we've been saying so far about sharing our faith, whether it's looking at different ways of doing that, or in this case, service, it's out of our relationship with Jesus that everything else flows. The way to do is to be. So the good news, the way to do, or sharing the good news, the way to do is to be. You know by now that the gospel is all about knowing God, the work that's been done by Jesus, his claim on our life, and his offer of a new birth, a new relationship, and eternal life, forgiveness, peace, joy, being part of a family, a fellowship, all in the same boat, and of course the security that we have, all of those things, which is amazing. That is good news, isn't it? It's not just me, is it? No. It is good news, and it's good news that we are given freely to enjoy, to live in, but also to know about and to share. And how do we share that? How do we do that? It's by being it, by being good news people. The church that I was a minister of before was an evangelical church, and that comes simply from the word euangelion, which is a good news, a good messenger. It's a good thing to be a Christian. We were good news people, trying to be at least. Because you can tell, can't you, whether someone's good news in your life by the way your heart either lifts or doesn't when they walk in the room. I've heard from doctors that there's a condition called heart sink, that when a particular patient walks through the door, they go, oh. That is not euangelion. That is not a good news person. But there are other people, when you see them immediately, it gives you a lift, doesn't it? And that's the kind of people that God wants us to be. Because we're enjoying the good news, we're living the good news, but we're being the good news as we share and do it. And an interesting thing that Christians have sort of, sometimes we've got in a bit of a muddle about this, that we thought, no, actually what we need to do is be bad news and make people feel bad so that they become Christians. Does that ever work for you? You know, the old, it doesn't work for me at all. Someone trying to frighten me into doing what's right or believing in God, that's not going to work at all. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. It's the goodness of God. And now, I just want to go on a slight rabbit trail just for a moment and think about this, because it all comes back to what we're thinking about here. That it's not fear of punishment, it's not fear of consequences that makes us try and escape hell, but rather it's the goodness of God and everything that he's done for us that suddenly, when we realize, it brings us to that moment of truth. That, oh, God is so good. He loves me and he has a plan for me. Even though all of the things that I've done, he wants me to know him. It's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. It's what C.S. Lewis describes as the problem of goodness. So many people get hung up on the problem of suffering or the problem of evil or you know, why is the world the way it is? But actually, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? I remember reading about the Times once posed the question and asked people to write in and just to answer the question, what is wrong with the world? And quite famously, G.K. Chesterton wrote in and said, "Dear sirs, what is wrong with the world? Dash, I am." And we know why there's suffering in the world. We know why there's wrong in the world. We don't want God to deal with it too robustly, because that would include us. And so it's the patience of God that gives the goodness of God a chance to bring us to repentance. Instead, C.S. Lewis talks about the problem of goodness. How come, In a world that if you were to believe in the current scientific and evolutionary thinking, in a world where it's survival of the fittest, the strongest dominate, where nature is red in tooth and claw, how come people will serve? How come people will care for one another, will pay off one another's debts, will carry one another's burdens? It doesn't make any sense at all in the evolutionary scheme of things. It doesn't. You don't see lions doing that. You don't see jellyfish doing that. Sharks certainly don't do it. Praying mantises. They sound religious, but they eat their own. The thing is, it's only God's love that actually explains the problem of goodness. Philosophically, goodness is harder to explain than evil and suffering, because we can see that suffering is a consequence of our free will and choice. The problem of goodness points us to God's love, the God kind of love, bearing burdens, serving others, not self. It's gospel fruit. It's being good news people. It's allowing the life and love of Jesus to be born in our lives. That's what we've been thinking about in the Fruit of the Spirit series in the evenings. So, what's the way to do good news? It's to be like Jesus. It's out of our relationship with Jesus that everything else flows. Yes, we tell for what all that he's done for us, as the one and only Son of God, as the substitute for our sin, as the only way to know God as our Father. But he said, and we heard him say it, both through the reading of Scripture and through the dramatization of Scripture, I've given you an example to follow. And so we follow his example. So just to sum up, with John 13, we have Jesus, the most spiritual man in the world. No one's going to disagree with that. The most spiritual man in the world does the most practical thing that you can imagine. He's not so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. He's also not so earthly minded that he's no heavenly good. He is the perfect balance of what it means to be demonstrating and showing the love and kingdom of God. How does he do it? Well, the Bible says that Jesus knew who he was, and so do we. He was the Son of God. We are children of God. We are loved by God. So we know who we are, don't we? Sometimes it boggles our mind, but we do. We know what the Bible says. Secondly, it says he knows where he was going. He knew he was going back to the Father. Well, actually, so do we. We know that we have a place that's been prepared for us, that we have our home, that we are children of God, and that we have a home with our Heavenly Father. And so Jesus, from this position of knowing who he is and where he's going, his total security, he has nothing to prove except for his love. And that's how it is with us. If God loves and accepts us, and we are totally and eternally secure, and we are, we can serve without self-consciousness. We don't have to worry about ourselves, because God loves us, and we belong to him. So what does it mean to wash one another's feet? Well, actually, I was thinking, it sounded just like another question. Someone asked Jesus, who is my neighbour? And Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan and said, well, who do you think it was then? You know, who was the one that was a good neighbour? And it was like, well, the one that did something about it. So who is my neighbour? The person that's in need. And how do I wash it? What does it mean to wash one another's feet? If my neighbour is the one who is in need, then the meeting of that need is washing the person's feet, isn't it? It's whatever it is, whatever way of meeting that need is, that is serving. That is doing the thing that we're meant to do. And it's different in every situation, isn't it? And so I want to read to you just a couple of verses from Romans 12, and then Simon will come back to us. But just listen to this. And think about the security that it demonstrates, the confidence that it demonstrates that being loved and being secure, knowing who we are and where we're going, we can extravagantly and almost recklessly love and serve those who are in need. It's from Romans 12. Love from the centre of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. You don't do that unless you're secure. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Isn't that great? Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Shed tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. If anyone could have done that, that would have been Jesus, wouldn't it? But he took off his garment and he served. Don't try and be the big somebody. You don't need to be, because you know who you are and where you're going. And then it goes, don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Just think for a second. Who is my neighbour? The one who's hungry. But he says he's my enemy. But is he hungry? Then feed him. Because even while we were sinners, even when we were living as enemies of God, God sent his son Jesus to die for us. And if he can do that, he has called us to follow that example. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. And back to the goodness of God. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. It's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. What a wonderful way to live. I'm going to hand back to Simon.